For the reading of the gospel. Today, it is not the gospel, it's an epistle. And it is found in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 17. So I am telling you this, and I insist on it in the Lord. You shouldn't live your life like the Gentiles anymore. They base their lives on pointless thinking. And they are in the dark in their reasonings. They are disconnected from God's life because of their ignorance and their closed hearts. They are people who lack all sense of right and wrong and who have turned themselves over to doing whatever feels good and practicing every sort of corruption along with greed. But you didn't learn that sort of thing from Christ, since you really listened to him and you were taught how the truth is in Jesus. Change the former way of life that was part of the person you once were, corrupted by deceitful desires. Instead, renew the thinking in your mind by the Spirit and clothe yourself with the new person created according to God's image in justice and true holiness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So have you ever stopped to wonder what those first few disciples were thinking the day Jesus appeared on the lake shore and called, "Come and follow me"? I mean, we have to remember that happened before he performed his first miracle. And although there were people standing on the lake shore, the truth is, he really didn't have much of a following. So, why did they do it? Why did they follow him? Unless they happened to have known him from somewhere else or maybe had a chance meeting with him, the truth is, Peter, Andrew, James, and John had no idea who Jesus was. They didn't have any idea why he was asking them to leave their boats and become fishers of people. And what was true of those first four disciples would have been equally true of those who were called after them. Oh, they may have known more about Jesus. They knew nothing, absolutely nothing, about what he thought their future should be. They had no idea the demands that would be placed on them, the sacrifices they were going to be called to make, how long he was asking them to leave their homes. None of it. It was all a mystery to them. So in the midst of all these unknowns, what was it that made them so willing to risk their entire future on a vague promise of a wannabe rabbi? Now, before you think, well, it was Jesus, of course. The truth is, there were many traveling rabbis during that time. He was just one of many. And at that point, he was a nobody. But yet they followed. He said, "Come and follow me," and they followed. Yeah, there's an excitement at first, isn't there? All of the mystery, all of the wondering. But as one year folded into the next, as they became more aware of what was actually going to be expected of them, did they ever regret their decision? I mean, they had left everything. Their careers, successful businesses, families. Did they ever wonder why? And perhaps more importantly, Did they ever doubt their ability to follow through? As they got to know what Jesus expected of them, you know, when they really began to understand what take up your cross and follow me meant, when they saw the tide of public opinion turning against him and they suddenly realized that, yeah, this man was going to be crucified. Did they ever wonder, what did I get myself into? Can I just go home? Unlike those early disciples, we have the privilege of knowing the rest of the story. I mean, we know who Jesus was. We know about his miracles, his teaching, his witness, and yes, his expectations of those who choose to become his followers. And yet, despite all that we know, despite the fact that we even know that he was indeed the Messiah, the chosen one from God, there's still a reluctance among most of us to fully commit ourselves to him. It's a reluctance that it just didn't seem to be there with the first few disciples. And yeah, in some ways that's totally understandable because we do know the rest of the story. We know exactly what he expects of his followers. But it's not only that. It's this understanding that seems to have infiltrated the churches. The church growth experts over the last several generations, they have convinced us that the signs of a healthy congregation are filled pews, balanced budgets, and good programming. And those are important. But when they become the primary focus, when they're the only thing we look at, then regrettably we become reluctant to take the next step. As leaders of churches, we're oftentimes cautioned not to expect too much, not to make too many demands. And so, we no longer expect those who are filling the pews to commit themselves to becoming the actual disciples of Jesus Christ. So what is the difference between simply being a member and being a disciple? Well, the simplest explanation is that if we are content with simply being members, well then, we give ourselves an out. We reserve the right to choose our level of involvement. We can decide that attending worship regularly or semi-regularly is okay. And we can pick and choose what programs we want to become involved in. And we may even serve on a committee or two. And all of those things are important. But if we don't go further, we simply remain members. And the challenge is to become disciples. Discipleship, not membership, should be our goal. And that requires an entirely different level of commitment. Discipleship, it involves more than professing a belief in Christ. It's more than simply participating in the life of a church, although that's important. True discipleship is a lifelong process of spiritual growth, transformation, and service. It's dedicating one's whole self, not part of ourselves, but our whole selves, our whole lives, into following and imitating our Lord. Discipleship means that we have to change the entire person we were into the person that Jesus Christ is calling us to be. In the words of today's epistle reading, we must, quote, change the former way of life that was part of the person you once were. All of our deceitful desires, all of those things, and instead, you must renew the thinking in your mind by the Spirit and clothe yourself with the new person created according to God's image in justice and true holiness. You must renew your thinking. You must renew your mind. You must take your things off of what is and place it on what can be. And that, my friends, is not an easy process. And as is so often the case in other instances in our life, to take that first step, it's the hardest step we can ever take. If we want to be a disciple, if we want to be more than just a member, then it requires that we take an honest inventory of our lives. We need to begin to answer such questions as, what do we consider to be a successful life? What are we doing to achieve that life? How do we spend the majority of our time and our money? What is guaranteed to claim our attention? And when is it that we found ourselves trying to please others more than we're trying to please God? At what point are we willing to compromise our faith in order to keep the peace, not make a scene, or simply go along with the crowd? Once we've identified those areas of our lives that are, according to Paul, corrupted by deceitful desires, he knows how to sting you, doesn't he? Then we must begin to develop a plan of replacing those characteristics, those thoughts and behaviors. We need to replace them with things that bring us closer to the example of Christ. And this, according to the Reverend Darrell Stetler, requires, I quote, a continual laying down of my own self and a continual taking up of Jesus' new life. And since becoming a disciple means a lifetime of learning and growing and changing, it is not something that we can do on our own. As the church, we need to make certain that everything we do, our worship, our fellowship, our mission, our programs, our evangelism, it's all focused on helping others become involved, including ourselves, through the continually growing in the ways of Christ. Everything we do should have as their aim making us into disciples. We must make certain that everyone, from our youngest children to our oldest members, have ample opportunity to learn the stories of our faith. And while knowing the stories is an important first step, we also need to both individually and corporately practice what John Wesley called the means of grace. These include such things as prayer, daily meditation, fasting, not only from food, but perhaps those things that claim our attention away from Christ. They also include things like participating in the fellowship of the congregation, sharing one's faith, serving whenever we can. All these things help shape and form us into the image of Christ. And all of them are required. They're not only required, they become the element that we in the church can offer to others to encourage them on their road to discipleship. Being a disciple is a lifelong process. Wesley used to say that we expect to be made perfect in this lifetime, but the perfection comes at the end. Being a disciple requires the same type of willingness to continue giving and learning and sharing and witnessing. Being a disciple, there are no shortcuts. In the end, we will finally know that the only way we can be truly successful, truly content and happy, is to become the person God has created us to be. And when we finally become that person, then we will know that we are at home with God. In his book, The Clarity Spiral, Will Mancini reminds his readers about a scene that comes from The Wizard of Oz. Remember, towards the end of the movie, Dorothy's done everything that the wizard has told her to do, and she returns. And as she's standing there talking to the great wizard, Toto pulls back a curtain. And what do they see? This very small, insignificant, inefficient person sitting there. And when he realizes that they have found who he really is, the great wizard says, "Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain." Yet once the man behind the curtain realizes he has nowhere to go and nothing that he can do except accept who he is and accept that other people are going to accept who he is, he suddenly finds an element of freedom that he never had before. He doesn't have to pretend anymore. He doesn't have to be who he thinks everybody else wants him to be. He isn't who he wasn't. He is who he needs to be. And with that newfound freedom, he leaves Oz and he flies home. Well, Christians, if we want to be a growing church, in addition to our worship and our fellowship, we must encourage each other to believe behind our false selves in order to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. Like the great and powerful Oz, once all our masks are finally removed, we will find the freedom, the courage, to take our place in the fellowship of believers. In the words of Paul, it all begins the moment you, quote, renew the thinking in your mind by the Spirit and clothe yourself with a new person created according to God's image in justice and true holiness. May today be the day that the curtain is finally pulled back on your lives. May today be the day that we begin the journey towards discipleship, the journey back to God. To God be the glory, and all God's children say, amen.